You know, Juan gave his testimony on Thursday night for all the men, and he had us all raise our hands. And he said, okay, now put your hand down. Like, you know, if you have seen the Lord work in your life in the last 24 hours. So everyone who could answer that put their hands down. And he went through last week, and so that's a couple of days and so forth. Juan, in the last 24 hours, I have seen the Lord move. And also, even this morning, I love fragrance. I don't know if you're wearing it or it's the Lord, but I take it he's even from the Lord because he loves fragrance. The Lord loves fragrance, and so do I. So I think I'll just take that as the Lord. So this is a beautiful day, and I want to just start somewhere here. Let's start with the scripture reading. We did that. That's beautiful. Because I have one text this morning from that scripture verse, from that reading from Matthew chapter 28. But first I want to say this. April 5th, 2026. Remember that date. April 5th, 2026. Remember that date. That's today. This wedding is to fulfill the destiny upon your lives. This wedding is to fulfill the destiny upon your lives. I'm so excited to be able to share the word that I'm going to bring to you in the next few minutes. And it didn't come easy. I didn't know where it would go. It reminded me of the Sunday school teacher that tried to describe a squirrel, and every time he mentioned something about the squirrel, you know, that nobody, you know, said anything. You know, it has a tail, and then he added another thing about the squirrel, and then finally, a young boy raises his hand and says, well, I know the answer's supposed to be Jesus, but it really sounds like a squirrel, you know. And it just seems no matter what I do in the Word of God, you know, unity just is one of the themes that just comes up, you know, unity just comes up. And also a celebration of what God is doing in the earth. I just can't get over that. My heart just continually celebrates. There's this ongoing celebration of what God is doing in the earth. So, I know a number of people who've had two weddings, and Leo and Hannah are one of them, but there's others. I mentioned Pierre and Priscilla. Where are you guys sitting? Where are you? Anyway, there we go. Did you guys have two weddings too? I can't remember. You just had one. Okay, just one. Yeah. But Priscilla you had two as well. Okay, you had two as well. Well, you got at least three or four couples in this room that have had two weddings. And so next week, we're going to let Young announce this formal wedding date, which will include a big celebration where we invite our family, our friends, we invite people from the city, and we celebrate together. And you know, the beautiful thing about having two weddings is it means more gifts. And if anybody knows my love languages, you know that's right up there. So, more gifts, more weddings. So this is not going to be a typical Easter morning message. I was reading some typical Easter morning type things, and I want to just tell you where I went. My mind went to several well-known authors and scholars who originally set out to debunk the resurrection. Their intention was to debunk the resurrection only to end up becoming believers. At least five or six of these I was reading about, five or six of them. And I just love that. It sounds like God to me, doesn't it? You know, that he would do that. The disciples themselves were eyewitnesses over a 40-day period. And many of them became the first martyrs. Many of them were martyred for their faith. So Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I love this. He's talking about the appearances of Jesus after the resurrection during this 40-day period. He says, he lists some of them. He says, after that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still alive, though some of them have fallen asleep. I love it. I even love that phrase, fallen asleep, because it's not as drastic as death, right? I mean, and one of the victories of the cross, one of the victories of the resurrection is the power over death. Sin and death. And last of all, he appeared to me also, Paul said. You know, we can put ourselves in there. I put myself in there. He says, Paul says, and last of all, he appeared to me. And we can include ourselves in that. He appeared to us. Matthew 28:20 is my text for this morning. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Another translation says, be sure of this. I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. I was in a gathering with 70,000 men in Pontiac, Michigan for a Promise Keeper event. The Promise Keepers was an incredible move of God, calling men back to their families, calling men back to be promise keepers, to keep their word, to keep their vows, to be promise keepers. But you know, there is one who never breaks his vows, who never backs away from his promises, who always keeps his promises. He's the ultimate promise keeper, and that's the Lord. And he says, it's very emphatic here. He says, I am with you always. Every word is emphatic in the original language. I am with you always. Can we say that together? I am with you always. So this morning I want to boast in the Lord. That's what I want to do. I felt like this was a celebration, the beginning of a great celebration time together. And so I want to boast in the Lord this morning and in the power of the resurrection and the fruit that it has produced. You're part of that right here. We are part of that fruit that has been produced by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Psalm 27 says, some boast in chariots and some in horses, but I will boast in the name of the Lord my God. A Jewish friend of ours says this. He says, you can borrow from the Old Testament. I thought Charlie might have been here this morning, so I had a shout out for Charlie, but I wanted to say this. You know, I have a Jewish friend in Israel, and he says this. He says, you can borrow from the Hebrew Scriptures, only be sure to return them. You know, because it's the Jew first, you know, it's the Jew first. And so Isaiah 40 verse 5 says, then the glory of the Lord will be revealed. The splendor of the Lord will be revealed and all people will see it at the same time. For the Lord has decreed it. We are living in the most exciting days possible, I believe. We are living in the most exciting days. Charlie did such a great job on Friday night, and this was going to be my shout out to him. He led us through a Passover Seder. And I hope it was captured on video, because the Seder means order, and it involves the retelling of the story of the liberation of the Israelites from slavery in ancient Egypt. And this is what Charlie did really well, the retelling of that story. And it was long. But how many of you? Shout out to you, Charlie. And it was loud. Long. It wasn't too loud, but it was long. But it was so powerful. And that journey was long. That journey was long. You know what we're going to do one time, Young? We're going to tell the story of this journey. We're going to tell the story. I've documented my own, you know, I've documented the churches here, and you've documented well the journey of his church. And we're going to, together, maybe we'll have someone interview us or someone will sit up here and do a podcast, right? You know, and you can hear some of these stories. They're so amazing. But Isaiah 61:3 says, they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? A planting of the Lord. Yeah, somebody spoke that just recently. So beautiful. A planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. I love that. The display of his splendor. The world's about to see a display they've never seen before. I believe this with all of my heart. I believe this with all my heart. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, it is because of him, and it is because of him that you, and you is in the plural, are in Christ Jesus. It is because of him, you, us even, are in Christ Jesus. Because of him. The doings of the Lord are so amazing. Part of my journey in all of this is the hand of the Lord, like just seeing the hand of the Lord. And I know it's been the same for you guys. By his doing, you are in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 1:30, I like that, the doings of the Lord. Don't you love the doings of the Lord? There's nothing like the doings of the Lord. And I'll tell you, what I love about you guys, okay, some of you guys, I'm just pointing out a general guys, gals, you guys and gals, is that you get to see, you get to have stories to tell, because you position yourself where there's a story to be had, you know? And there aren't a lot of stories to be had away from people, right? But you position yourself close to people, there's a story to be had when there's a yes in your heart, right? Right. Joshua, you're going to tell that story. I don't know if it'll be this morning, but you're going to tell that story, because there is an assignment. We have this thing that's happening, and this is what I want to underline this morning. I want to talk about the plural you. But there's also in the Bible the singular you. There are assignments for the singular you that God has, and sometimes it's just to plant your feet. And you're going to tell that story soon. Just hang in there. Because it's going to bless a few people in this place. It's going to bless some people. The Son of God appeared for this purpose. I love this. To destroy the works of the devil. That's why he appeared, to destroy the works of the devil. And he is doing, the resurrection is about destruction. What happened when he rose from the dead, he destroyed death and sin. He did so much in his power. But it says, for this reason, the Son of God has appeared to destroy the works of the devil. I love this. You know what vengeance is against the enemy? A changed life, a transformed life, a life that the enemy wanted and thought he had, and the grip was loosened and let go, and victory was the Lord's, and that brings glory to God, and that brings vengeance against the enemy. We don't have to bring vengeance against the enemy. God will do it. God will do it. Colossians 1:13, it says, well, I got to tell you this first. I love the Moravians because my background is from Czechoslovakia. I come from Czechoslovakia, and the Moravians left Czechoslovakia, and they made their way to Germany, and they had left a place in the Czech Republic called Moravia, they landed in Germany. The Moravians were known for having started a prayer meeting that lasted 100 years. That's one of the themes I can't get away with either. Well, I was reading in Acts chapter 4 about them praying, and the room began to shake. I love that verse. I love that portion of scripture because that's the God that we serve. So get ready, get used to something that's going to feel like shaking in this hour. But this is what happened. The Moravians went through a storm with the Wesley brothers. The Wesley brothers were bringing the gospel to North America. They weren't even really saved. They were religious, but they met the Moravians. And the Moravians had this personal relationship with God. And so they went through this horrific storm on the ship, and they all, the people on board were fearing for their life. The water was coming down through the ship and down the deck into the decks below, and people were just wailing in fear, except one group of people called the Moravians. And the Moravians weren't alone. They had their children with them, and their children sang with them. They sang hymns to God. They sang, and later on, the Wesley brothers said, what's with this? You know, what is this? And they said, why no fear? You know, he said, and they were able to share their relationship with Jesus and how he had taken away all fear. There was no fear of death. That's basically what I wanted to say, that with the Moravians, there was no fear of death. The Wesley brothers went on to have a solid encounter with the Lord. And one of the Wesley brothers, Charles Wesley, who's written many hymns, wrote this, and it matches my own testimony. So I have to say, a third floor Union Mission for Men, 17 years old, down on my knees. Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. I stood in the foyer of the Union Mission for Men, 17 years old. I tell people I packed a lot of sin between 15 and 17. I just, as much as I could, I packed sin. And you can just use your imagination, but I did. And at 17, I stood in the lobby of the Union Mission for Men, and I felt clean. It took me by surprise. I'm just standing there. I have these experiences where I can tell you where I was. You know, but I felt clean for the very first time. I felt scrubbed inside, washed. Man, up until that time, I felt anything but washed. Colossians 1:13 says he's rescued us, delivered us from the dominion of darkness, and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. It has the imagery here of dragging a person out of battle or the jaws of danger. We had an intercessor. I don't want to cry at telling the story, but we had an intercessor pray for us when my son was in his full-fledged rebellion. And we had an intercessor pray, and she saw the enemy take hold of my son and try to pull him across this line. So this intercessor held Valerie's legs, like in this vision, you know, and Valerie reached in behind, you know, over the line and yanked him right back again. And this is what this scripture talks about. You're actually transferred into another place. You're taken from one kingdom and brought into another. That's what's happened to all of us, right? That's what's happened. Dragging a person out of battle, out of the jaws of danger. I love that he's brought you guys out. Brought us into is often used in the sense of removing a people from one country to another. Now here we tell, I can't tell all the, somebody said we can't tell all the stories this way, so I'm not going to try to do that. His dear son, the original, into the kingdom of his dear son. The original is far more striking and beautiful. It has something to do with the divine sonship and the father's pleasure. Divine sonship and the father's pleasure. You can go on and get all the titles you want in this life. When I was first ordained, I was a Baptist pastor and I wasn't ordained. I was just I was a pastor. I had no ordination. And I was invited to the seniors' banquet in the town, eh? Oh, it was so good. I mean, I was a young guy, but I got to go to the Christmas banquet with all the seniors, eh? So I'm sitting there with all the seniors, and right at my little place, Matt, thing was this little thing, and it said, Reverend Chuck Balick. So, you know, after supper, But what I've learned, and this is honest, you know, and especially as I get older, I love getting older. You know, it's kind of fun getting older. But especially if you get these guys praying for you, because they're pressing in for healing. I don't have a sore back, and I'll just say glory to God. You know, I'm so grateful, because at the beginning of the year, I put on a pair of white running shoes because I felt like the Lord said, I'm giving you this energy, this burst of energy to run this leg of the race, And so, but I want to run it without a sore back. You know, I want to run it as whole as I can be, you know, at my age. Here we go. Fasten your seatbelts a little further. Oh, I love this. We are now living in divine sonship in the Father's pleasure. Remember Peter, how crushed Peter must have felt after he denied the Lord? I can't even imagine what that felt like. I felt crushed. I've denied the Lord. So have you, right? And you felt crushed, but I, not like Peter. Peter felt really crushed. His denial of Jesus was a weight only one person could lift. And so an angel said this. One of the accounts of the resurrection, the angel said this, but go tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. Isn't that beautiful? And Peter. I love it, you know. Often the Lord just washes over me and reminds me, you know, like my failures are not the end of the story. They're not the place to park my boat, you know. They're not the place to live in, you know. If you've never experienced the forgiveness of sins, you don't know you have not experienced the Lord. You've not experienced him like you need to experience him. The washing that only he can bring and the gifts that he brings with him. Okay, so let me keep going. The boast continues. Romans 12. We don't have time to go into this. This is a teaching on its own. And one day, young, you can do this well, I'm sure. But also here, there's a couple by the name of Judith and Graham. Where are they sitting? I'm in a fog here a little bit. No? Yes, there they are. Okay. And they do this really well. They've done this teaching before on the gifts of the Spirit and, you know, from Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12. But I just want to read a couple of verses, okay? Because I want it to wash over us here this morning as we boast in the Lord. That's what we're doing. We want to boast in the Lord. Romans 12, 4-6. For just as each of us has one body and many members, and these members do not have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. Paul is essentially saying what a fella said years ago that I really loved is that we all get to play. We all get to play. God distributes his gifts and we all get to play. And we are all enriched by one another. I've told this many times. I feel like one of the richest men in the world, young. One of the richest men in the world because I met you. I met some of my African brothers, and the list goes on. You know, as a young man, I wanted to be a missionary. And then all of a sudden, you know, here we are, you know, like in Ottawa, right? Yeah. I so appreciate you. I'm going to say one more thing about you in a minute, so hang in there. Hang on. Paul is essentially saying we all get to play. We're richer together, Joshua. Hey, we're richer together. 1 Corinthians 12:18 says, but in fact, God arranged, God placed the parts in the body, every one of them just as he wanted them to be, as it pleased him. A dear brother of mine, some of you got to know this man, his name is Jean-Claude Joel. He's a dear friend, and we would get together, and I'd sit with him in his office, at Tim Hortons over in Quebec. And we're sitting there in the office, and he'd look at me, and he'd say, Chuck, he said, I love you, I need you, and I'm not complete without you. Isn't that beautiful? I love you, I need you, and I'm not complete without you. Ephesians 2:22 says this, and in him, you two being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by the Spirit. I could get under a piano right now because I could just get under there and just enjoy what God is doing in the earth. I could just do that, and I want to do that figuratively, but maybe I'll do it literally too. But right now, I just want to, again, just boast in what the Lord is doing across the face of the earth. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by the Spirit. We're his workmanship. Each and every one of us. We're the material that he works with to build a house. I'll say it right out. I've said this many times. I don't like calling a building the house of God because God could do a lot better than this place. In fact, I wanted to do a slideshow this morning, and I could do it, but I didn't. It would have been more time consuming to try to do it, so I didn't do it. But I brought a short video with some slides, and we'll play it later during the thing. It's some of the great architecture across the face of the earth. It's really quite remarkable to see, but there is a building going on right now that's greater than any and all that architecture put together. Because the building that he's building will inhabit his very presence. It's going to inhabit glory, and we get to be part of that. So, continuing the boast. Watchman gathering. It was a watchman gathering. I don't even have, can't see that clock. I'm nearsighted, so I can see all these guys up here. I can see all the way till the clock. But this area to me in the church is really special in this building, let's put it that way, is very special. Because years ago we had a gathering of watchmen for the nations, and they gathered here, they worshiped, and some of them had just come back from China, and they told a story. They told a story of five Chinese leaders in China, five leaders that led thousands and thousands, perhaps even hundreds of thousands of Christians, like denominations or movements with thousands and thousands of people, each of them. You know, we're responsible for these huge numbers of Christians, five of them. These five leaders got together and they wrote down on a piece of paper their distinctives, the things that made them distinct, the thing about their denomination, their unique, you know, kind of characteristics, beliefs and all that. They wrote it down on a piece of paper. And these men, these five men, put it down on the ground. And they stood together and committed to walking together. Walking together. Now, if you know anything about the Chinese don't generally put things on the floor. They won't put their Bibles. At least this is what I've been told, okay? So, it's probably, yeah. So, it impacted me then, and then I had a heart attack. Really. So I had, not just right then. a little while later, I had a heart attack. And when I had this heart attack, and I don't say this lightly because the Lord speaks to us. He puts an impression upon our hearts or he'll speak. Sometimes it'll even sound like your own voice because it's something that goes through your head but it's too good for you to have thought of, right? It's too good for you to have thought of. So here I am feeling like, you know, I have this heart attack and I hear the Lord say, you have unfinished business. Now listen carefully because not only does the Lord speak to our hearts, there's a tone to his voice. And what was unusual about was the tone in his voice. It wasn't a reprimand. You know, usually that means when you heard that day that you've got unfinished business, it means you got, buddy, you better get this stuff, you know, done and taken care of. But no, that wasn't it. It was this. It was like Jesus needed to be about his Father's business. Remember that? He needed to be about his Father's business, and God was calling me to be about the Father's business. Which is family. Family is his business. And this is what happened. You know, something, there was a revelation that came to me when the watchman meeting took place that day, because they're traveling all over the earth, and I heard the story about the Chinese leaders, and something went into my spirit and into my heart that has never left, and this sense of family. And you know, when you have that, you really, it's been so expanding. Like the number of, like you get to, it's like you're meeting new people, eh, from the family, like all the time. Today we're meeting new people. His family is absolutely beautiful. So, James 4:6 says, but he gives us more grace. The gifts and the graces in this room are appropriate for this wedding today. The gifts and the graces in this room are appropriate for this wedding today. And yet in James chapter 4, verse 6, it says, but he gives us more grace. Another translation says, greater grace. In Pastor Jose's church in the east end of the city, I think it was after the meeting, eh? We met for the very first time. I met Young for the very first time. And what was I going to say about this, Young? Let me check my notes here. Yeah, this is it. Then we began to meet for coffee, eh? You can't be too caffeinated. So we began to meet for coffee. And one day, Young used this phrase for worship. He said, presence-driven worship. And you know what it did? It put language to something, because I can't sing for anything. I can't keep a tune. I can't, but I sing. Yes, I sing. But I can't keep a tune. That I was told earlier that I had a tin ear, whatever that means. So, but I love to worship. I remember during COVID, I would sometimes just lie on the floor over here during worship. I would just lie down over here during worship because I love to worship, you know, but presence-driven worship. And then we picked that up, and I started saying, presence-driven everything, you know? Presence-driven everything. I even enjoy going to board meetings these days. And Graham picked it up and ran even further with it, and he's presence-driven everything. So I just love it. And part of this church's history, around the halfway mark of this church's history, we took a big step. So roughly 25 years or so in, and we're 53 or something, but roughly 25 or so years in, we took an enormous step. We bought this building. And I'm just coming to the end, so hang in with me, and then I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up. But just hang in for a couple more minutes, okay, because this is important. So we prayed. I remember we were in the church basement. We were praying. There was a small group of us. We weren't a big group, actually, but we prayed, and we felt the go to buy this building, and we purchased this building. Only the Lord gave us a promise, and we've kept this for all these years. We've held on to this, and we've really loved this promise that He gave us. And basically, it's out of Exodus chapter 33, and I just want to read a couple of verses. But the Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here." I appreciate you guys so much. And I know the journey like this, so it's been beautiful to walk the journey, but this is an important day. It is a beautiful day. And so it says, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other peoples on the face of the earth?" It's His presence that distinguishes you, that distinguishes us, that distinguishes the church, the building, the great building that's happening across the face of the earth, distinguishes us from every other person, every other grouping of people, or anything else that's happening in the earth. It's His presence. So the Lord gave us this scriptural promise, but this morning marks a new beginning and a new prayer. A new beginning and a new prayer. So if we go down just a little further in Exodus chapter 33, Moses got a little bit bold, and he prays this. He says, Moses said, "Now show me your glory. Now show me your glory." We're going to ask the worship team just to come back up. They're going to form a small group at the front, and then they're going to, you guys, just in a few minutes or whatever you feel led, after you've spent some time as a small group, I'd like you to take us back into worship as we come to the end. But we're going to just break into small groups in just a minute, and we are the fruit of His resurrection. You're going to be standing with some people this morning. I'd like you to cross the room a little bit in the next little while and form some groups that maybe look a little different, you know, just the people you don't know so well, and just form some small groups, whatever size you feel comfortable with, and make sure everybody feels comfortable. Not everybody has to pray, but you just basically, you want to stand together and recognize this fruit, this beautiful fruit. This fruit of the Holy Spirit, this fruit that He's done, this gifting, this grace in another person's life that you get to partake of. In 1 John, there's this beautiful language that talks about what happens when one believer touches another believer, and the Spirit in them touches the Spirit in the other believer, and there's a connection, and there's life that takes place. And so we want to do that in the next minute. We want to give thanks for one another. We want to recognize the grace and gifting in each other, and we want to pray that His presence and the weight of His glory would rest on us. So we're going to pray together this prayer. We're going to pray and just welcome the Lord, give thanks this morning, whatever you want, however you want to pray, but we want to just welcome His presence and the weight of His glory to rest on us at this beautiful wedding. So would you stand with me? And I'm not going to pray. I'm going to have you guys pray. So some of you just cross all the way to the back. Some go sideways, and let's form some small groups, and let's celebrate the graces in one another, the gifts in one another, the smiles in one another, whatever you want to recognize in another person this morning.